Have you ever wondered how to live an extraordinary life? I mean, no one wants to live a boring, ordinary life. We all want to have some impact, some legacy in this world. But how? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today, we're heading into the final message in the teaching series called How to Live an Extraordinary Life, which means that this is the very last week that you'll be able to request your free copy of our latest life application booklet, Your Extraordinary Life Awaits. I'll be letting you know just how you can do that shortly. But right now, as we share this time together, I'm praying that God is going to have a mighty impact in your life by His Spirit and His Word. When I finished high school, gee, almost 40 years ago now, my grades were good enough to mean that I was selected to study medicine at Sydney University. And so I applied for a range of courses at different universities. That's how it worked back then. You applied for several things that interested you, and then, depending on your grades, you had several offers on the table from which you could choose. One of the things I was accepted for was medicine. But something inside me, well, I just didn't want to do it, even though my parents wanted me to do it. I mean, what do you really know at age 17 about what you'd be good at, what you'd enjoy, what you want to spend the rest of your life doing? Nothing. Fortunately, though, they left it up to me. And being a young lad with a sense of adventure, that desire to spread my wings and fly, I chose a career in the military instead. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've looked back on that decision in the years since and thank God I didn't become a doctor. See, I hate the sight of blood. And, well, I just couldn't imagine it. It's just not me. I chuckle to myself. And every time we talk about the idea of me becoming a doctor, my wife, Jackie, ends up shrieking with laughter or rolling her eyes into the back of her head. She knows me better than anyone on the planet, and saying that I would make a good doctor would be like telling me that I could fly to the moon by flapping my arms. Now, given that I'm a bit of an academic, I wouldn't have any problem at all with a theory. I'm sure I could cope with all the study and the exams, no problem. But my problem would be when I have to come to stick a needle into someone, or cut them open with a knife and poke around inside them, and then put all the pieces back in the right place and stitch them up again. My problem with being a doctor isn't the theory, it's the practice. And that's the way it is for many of us when it comes right down to living an extraordinary life. We don't have any problem whatsoever with the theory. There are plenty of us who want to lead an extraordinary life and we dream about it. But you don't plow a field by turning it over in your mind. People who live extraordinary lives are the ones that realize that the theory isn't enough. The people who live extraordinary lives are the ones that get out there in the game and give it a crack. The ones who are prepared to sacrifice and fail and get up and dust themselves off and give it another go. And that's exactly what Jesus taught us about living an extraordinary life. Have a listen. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. He said, "Look, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it didn't fall because it had been founded on a rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and it was such a great fall." Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Well, should they have been amazed? All the religious leaders of their day were teaching waffle and theory and how to follow all these rules and laws that didn't make people's lives any better at all. In fact, it was making their lives worse. But the stuff Jesus was talking about, sure, it was about the very same God that all the religious leaders were teaching about, but he was teaching stuff that seemed to matter, real stuff, real life things, things that people could take and do and live by that would make their lives better and other people's lives better. But Jesus was warning them here. He was saying, in effect, sure, you can come along and listen and be wowed by all that you hear and entertained and challenged, and that's great. But if all you do is listen, what good is that going to do you? None. Because when push comes to shove, when the going gets tough, it's all going to come crashing down round your ears. But if you actually do the things that I'm telling you, it'll be like building your life on firm foundations. So don't just sit there and listen to me. Do it. Hey, maybe that's where Nike got their slogan from. And here's the bit that caps it off for me. When Jesus was done teaching them, what did he do? Did he go back to the office and get out his textbooks and get in some more theories so that he could dish out yet another sermon, yet another theory lesson to the masses? Well, let's have a read here at the very next thing that he did after his sermon on that mount. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And there was a leper who came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." So Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the man, saying, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." See, what was the very next thing that Jesus did after this message on doing instead of just listening? He went out and touched the leper. See, it was against the law to touch a leper, but he was so moved by compassion, he reached out and touched the leper and healed the man. Now, I'm not sure if you've heard this saying, but it's a great one. A shepherd should never lose the smell of sheep from his clothing. In other words, we should always be hands-on when it comes to living out our faith. We should always be prepared to do our faith, not just believe our faith. With all my heart, I believe in Jesus. And it would be the easiest thing in the world for me to be a theoretician. Sit here in a nice, safe, clean, cloistered, albeit boring little radio studio and just churn out these programs, dish up the theory. But if there's one thing that Jesus teaches us, it's that theory isn't enough. The theory has to work its way out in practice in our lives. The easiest thing in the world is to nod wisely as we hear Jesus' words today, but it's much harder to go and do them. Let me leave you with this thought. Theoreticians aren't the ones who end up living extraordinary lives. It's the practitioners who do. Who's the great sportsman? The one who teaches the players, or the one who picks up the ball and runs with it? Who is the great teacher? The one who stays in the classroom, or the one who pulls alongside the student along the journey of his life? At some point, if we want to live extraordinary lives, we have to go and live them. We have to go and do them. For some of us, it's time to stop listening, and it's time to start doing.
I'm Bernie Dimet, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Just a quick reminder that time is fast running out to request your copy of Christianity Works' latest life application booklet, Your Extraordinary Life Awaits. Please don't miss out on this one, because I believe that it's going to have a powerful impact in your life. Your extraordinary life awaits. I'd love to send you your very own free copy. You can request yours right now at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer at the top of the homepage. Just click on it, pop in your name and email, and the free e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. But it's only available this week, so don't miss out. And if you are able to stop by online, don't forget to check out Christianity Works TV on the homepage. You can actually watch this week's message on your smartphone, tablet, or computer. That's Christianity Works TV. But back to that free booklet again. Remember, it's called Your Extraordinary Life Awaits, and the web address, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. Hop online right now, check out all the other free resources and downloads, like the Media Lounge, and may you be blessed mightily as you receive the Word of God into your heart. Now, most times when we run into difficult issues in our lives, we try to overcome them in our own strength, or perhaps with the help of a friend. But what do we do when we run into difficulties, obstacles, problems that are way beyond human strength? Then what?
In your life, let me ask you, where do you get the sort of power that keeps you going despite some of the difficulties and the obstacles that you face? Do you have that sort of power? Well, no, me neither. Well, that's not quite true. Of course, in and of myself, I don't have that sort of power. But when from time to time things get beyond me, I do know where to go to get it. Sound interesting? Well, let's take a look. In this razzmatazzy kind of world in which we live, we're supposed to have our own power. We're supposed to be strong and self-sufficient. We're supposed to be quick and smart and clever and all that stuff. That's the theory, and I guess in part I'd agree with that. We should grow, we should mature, we should use the strength and the abilities we've been given. But I don't care even if your name is Hercules, there are going to be times when the job before us is way, way, way beyond us. So, then in that place, where do you get that power? The power to live an absolutely extraordinary life. Well, let's take a look. The question is, what are you powered by? Here's what Jesus has to say on the subject, because, of course, in our journey of discovering how to live an extraordinary life over these last few episodes, we've been following him around through the account of his life in the Gospel of Matthew to discover how it was that he lived his extraordinary life. And here's what Jesus has to say about power and where to get it. I'm reading from New Testament Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, appealing to him, saying, "Lord, my servant's lying at home paralyzed and in terrible distress." And Jesus said to him, "I'll come and cure him." But the centurion answered, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and the slave does it." When Jesus heard him, he was amazed, and he said to all those who were following him, "Truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west, and they'll eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you according to your faith." And the servant was healed in that very hour. Now here was this centurion, a Roman soldier of the Italian cohort. He was faced with a problem that was way, way, way beyond him. His servant was sick, and obviously this servant meant a lot to him. What to do? No fancy emergency clinics back in those days. None of the advances in medicine that we take for granted these days as yet existed. Yet he'd heard about this miracle man Jesus, and in his simple mind, he decided that Jesus must have the power. But how to lay hold of that power? Well, get up and go and see him. With a bit of luck, being a centurion, you'd get through the crowd to ask Jesus if he could help. But how does the centurion ask? Let's take another look, verse 8. The centurion answered, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and the slave does it." The centurion sets out the simple soldier's logic of his faith in Jesus. He explains his reason for putting his trust in Jesus. And Jesus is totally blown away by this man's faith. And the moment this faith is expressed, it releases power. See, the centurion in and of himself didn't have the power to heal the servant, but he knew where to get it and how to get it by placing his trust in Jesus. See, is that it? Is that the end of the story? Well, not really. Of course, the centurion received what he asked for by faith. But interestingly, Jesus also received what he asked for by faith. It seems that Jesus actually practiced what he preached, which is a pretty refreshing change when you think about it. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. When Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm arose and the sea was so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But Jesus was asleep. So they woke him and they said, "Lord, save us, we're perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was dead calm. They were amazed, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him?" Well, I'll tell you what sort of a man he was. He was a man of faith. He rebuked the disciples for their lack of faith, and then in faith he stilled the storm. Remember, Jesus had laid all his power aside to become a man. Yes, Jesus was the Son of God, but also the Son of Man. He had, in and of himself, the same power as you and I do. What he relied on to do the extraordinary things that he did was God's power by faith. And as a result, he was able to still the storm, to feed the 5,000, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, by faith. Now, I try my hardest in my life. I marshal all my abilities and strengths whenever I'm faced with something that I can't manage, because I kind of figure that I should be capable of doing these things. But there are plenty of times I'm called to do things that are actually way beyond me. I was sitting preparing this particular message at the International Airport in Dubai on my way from Delhi in India to Nairobi in Kenya. I'd just been to India to grow the reach and the impact of these very same radio messages there, and now I was heading off to Africa to do the same on that continent. And I can't tell you how often I'm on these trips and I sit there and I look around and I think to myself, who do I think I am? What am I doing here? I'm in Dubai, for crying out loud. I can't make a difference in all these countries. These are all so foreign to me. I don't belong here. And then I remember the centurion, his simple logic. To him, it was patently obvious that Jesus could do what he asked of him. And then I remember Jesus, who by faith stilled the storm through the power of God himself. See, for Jesus, it wasn't complicated. For the centurion, it wasn't complicated. Not for the Christ, not for the soldier. Faith is faith. Simple, sweet, pure. And it's that childlike faith that lays hold of the awesome power of God to do the extraordinary things, the things that are way beyond the natural, the supernatural. Looking for the power to do the extraordinary things, looking for the power to live an extraordinary life, well, I know exactly where you can get it.
I'm Bernie Diamond, and we'll get back to today's Christianity Works message in just a moment. Now, I wanted to take a moment to share something truly important with you. This program that you've just been listening to is heard not just here on your station, but through over 1,350 stations in 160 countries. And yet we face so much spiritual opposition in so many places because, frankly, our enemy, the devil, doesn't want millions of people each week hearing about Jesus. So can I ask you a huge favor? Would you please pray with me that God would open many, many more doors around the world for us to share the stunningly good news of Jesus with the lost, because our heart, his heart, is to reach the unreached with his love. So if you're serious about praying with me, you can check out this month's prayer points at ChristianityWorks.com. And while you're there, don't forget there's a treasure trove of resources in the Media Lounge, conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. Topics like living in victory, missional living, marriage and family, and lots more. God's word is so powerful. So please take a moment to check out that Media Lounge at ChristianityWorks.com. I want to see your life transformed as you receive his word into your heart. Now, the choices that we make along the way have a lot to do with the sort of life we end up living. Good choices inevitably have good outcomes, and bad choices, well, you know. But there's one choice, a certain type of choice, that comes along every now and then that's really important. It's going to have a big impact on our lives, and when it does come, we need to know how to handle it.
Now, in these last four episodes of the program, we've only managed to get to Matthew chapter 8 out of 28 chapters. So we're going to cheat somewhat by jumping forward to the end of Matthew's account of Jesus' life and times to see, in part, how it ended. A lot of what our lives end up being worth has to do with the decisions that we make. We all make many decisions every day, dozens of them. Sometimes we make really lousy decisions, and other times we make good decisions. So I'd like to look at perhaps the single most important decision that's ever been taken in the history of humanity, the decision that Jesus took all alone, late at night, in a dark, lonely, scary place. They're the hardest decisions to take, don't you think? The dark ones, the lonely ones. And this was one of the hardest decisions that anyone will ever take. And also the most important one. Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, I'm so deeply grieved, even unto death. Remain here and stay awake with me. And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. Then he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, So couldn't you stay awake with me for just 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into a time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but your flesh is weak. Again he went away for the second time and prayed, My Father, if this cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and he said to them, Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Now this, of course, was the decision of laying his life down for you and me. So put yourself in his shoes and imagine being there deciding whether or not you're going to die for someone else. And not just die, suffer. Not a quick painless injection, as awful as that would be. Not even the electric chair, certainly some pain there, but over pretty quickly. Wouldn't that just be awful? But Jesus knew he was going to suffer for hours, the best part of a day, around 17 hours. Trial after trial, 5 of them in all, beating after beating, thorns driven into his skull, nails driven into his hands and feet, hanging there by those nails in excruciating pain for hours, until finally he didn't have the strength to breathe. That's how you died when you were crucified. You suffocated. You actually lost the strength to breathe hanging there by those nails, and so you died of lack of oxygen. All the while those nails tore at your wrist and your Achilles tendon, your whole body weight being taken on those 4 painful points. And so here Jesus is, hoping that his friends would support him, but they fall asleep. Can you believe that? They actually fell asleep. And he's sweating blood in his most crucial hour, and he prays and he prays, Dad, if only you can take this whole thing away from me. I'm sure there were a whole bunch of other things that passed between God the Father and God the Son in that dark, lonely, fearful place on that night. He was grieved, deeply grieved, greatly agitated. Why wouldn't he have been with all that lay ahead? He was dying to pay for my sin and yours so that we could be forgiven. He threw himself on the ground and prayed, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. And that's the key to the most important decision ever made in all of history. No, he didn't want to die. But even in this dark place, he said to his Father in heaven, Yet not what I want, but what you want. Right there in that yet is where the ordinary becomes absolutely extraordinary. Jesus made a decision to submit his life, literally his very life, to the will of God his Father. And that changed the course of history. There are going to be times in both our lives, in your life and in my life, where we have one of those Gethsemane decisions to make, and they're never easy. They're always huge. I look back on a few in my life, and I never, ever want to have to go through them again. But how we decide at that point has everything to do with the sort of life that we end up living. If we're prepared to lose it all for God, then that's extraordinary. So many people want to hang on to their lives. And when we cling on to the things that we want in life, that makes for an ordinary life. When we're prepared to lay it all on the line, when we're prepared to go with the outcome that God has for us, even when it deeply grieves and agitates us, as was the case with Jesus, that's where true greatness lies. Most of us will never be called physically to lay down our lives for God. Some will, but most won't. And yet Jesus called his followers to take up their cross every day and follow him. Because there are much smaller Gethsemane decisions to be made each and every day in submitting our lives to God so that we may live. If any man would save his life, then he'll lose it. But the one who loses it for my sake, said Jesus, will save it. Weird, that last bit. But what he's saying is that when we try to hang on to everything for ourselves, that's what makes for an ordinary life. And eventually, an ordinary life comes to an end. But the one who lays down their lives for Jesus will live an extraordinary life. And that's a life that goes on forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Awesome stuff. Jesus does absolutely want you to live an extraordinary life. And that's what our latest life application booklet here at Christianity Works is all about. It's called Your Extraordinary Life Awaits. But today is the very last day that you'll be able to request your free copy of this e-booklet. So head across to ChristianityWorks.com right now. You'll see the free offer up there at the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. And while you're there, don't forget there are so many other free resources available, like Christianity Works TV. You can watch this teaching on our weekly television broadcast at our website. And of course, you can have instant access to Fresh, the free daily Christianity Works video devotional. It's all about helping you to live each and every day in the victory that Jesus came to give you. But back to that free booklet again. It's called Your Extraordinary Life Awaits, and the web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again next week right here on Christianity Works with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.